We do thank you, Father, that we can come into this time in our service when we end our time of singing and worship and praise and are preparing our hearts for discovering what you have for us in your word. We want to praise you for your word, praise you that you have given it to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells each and every believer. And I thank you that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to teach and to show us the truth, to help us understand what your word means, how it can relate to our lives. And I pray that you would do that very thing. We thank you for this evening and what you have for us in these coming moments. We trust it will glorify you. In your name I pray. Amen. Do you have a plan? A plan for what, you say? Well, let's put it this way. How many of you know what you're going to do the next time some unexpected tragedy, unpleasant experience, unwanted trial comes your way? David did. And I'd like to suggest that I think we ought to have a plan for that too. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 61 while I get some more air going up here. I was amazed when I walked up these steps to discover that there is about a 10-degree difference in heat when I walked up here than from where you're sitting down there. So, anyway, Psalm 61. Notice verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. David had a plan. Joel, our title is, Do You Have a Plan? Notice that David stated in that second verse that it was not a matter of if his heart is overwhelmed, but in that verse he said, when it's overwhelmed. But I don't like to think about times like that. I really hope that something like that never happens to me. Dream on. Dream on. Life isn't always a bowl of cherries, peaches and cream, apple pie and ice cream. Those of us that have any sunsets and sunrises to our credit, you know the truth of what I'm talking about. When we're little, we don't have a care in the world, and that's great. And trouble, hardships, trials, that's the furthest thing from the mind of a little child, and it ought to be. It's going to come quick enough. They ought to be able to enjoy their childhood. Tragically, I think of the day and age in which we live and how much sin is rampant And how many homes have been destroyed by sin, and how many youngsters grow up in homes not knowing who their real father is, or their real mother, or where they're going to be living next week, or who they're going to be living with. And it's tragic. But that's not what we want to all talk about this evening. You have Psalm 61 in front of you, and I want us to see what David knew about the Lord to bring him to make such determined preparation, so that he would make a statement like he did there in verse 2. Let's notice, first of all, his desire in verse 1. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. His desire was just simply to be heard. Oh, by the way, this is going to be one of those messages this evening that it's going to appeal to young and old alike. It's not going to be one of those where somebody is going to say, man, he was talking in ways that I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't understand what he was saying. We've really brought it down to an understandable level, I think, this evening. Such as even that first point. And we're just going to go verse by verse. I think we can all say, well, yeah, that's just expressing his desire, what he wants, what he is hopeful for. He wants the Lord to hear him. We can all relate to that, can't we? When you pray, how many of you want the Lord to hear? The ladies are starting their Bible study on the matter of prayer. I don't think there's one of those ladies that are attending that class with the thought of, well, I'm going to learn a lot about prayer, but you know, really, what good does it do? Whoever listens, and what's the point anyway? No. We pray because we believe there is a God who is alive, who loves us, who cares about us, and a God who always does what? He listens. He knows us. He listens. And the psalmist said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. There are some things that I want to ask you, some things I want to talk to you about. Psalm 5, 1 and 2. The psalmist said, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I cry. Psalm 28, verse 2. The psalmist said, hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle or thy holy temple. Psalm 130, verse 2. The psalmist said, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So what we see here in our text in Psalm 61, this is not an isolated desire that the psalmist just mentions on this occasion alone. There are other times, and I didn't give you every one that we could. I just trying to just give a few references as we see here. His desire was He wanted the Lord to listen to what he had to say. Now we come to verse 2. Having expressed his desire, we find here his intention. What he intended to do. This is what led itself for me to give the title, "Do You Have a Plan?" For in verse 2, notice first of all his location. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. We go back in verse 1, he says, attend to my prayer. One of those references that we read is how that my prayer might reach into your holy oracle or your holy temple, your holy dwelling place. Do you have to be at a certain place to be able to pray to get the Lord to listen? Do you have to come to church on Sunday or Wednesday? No. You know, that's a great truth, isn't it? Or do you have to wait until a certain day or a certain time of the day? You know, you want to go to some business establishment. One of the first things you do is you look at your watch to see what time it is. You check your calendar to see what day it is because they have certain hours of operation, don't they? Certain days of the week, they're closed. Certain hours of a 24-hour period, they're closed. And so, are they open? Is this the right day or isn't it? Aren't you glad God doesn't keep office hours? And he doesn't take days off. So, what's your point? He is approachable wherever you or I might find ourselves. He says, from the end of the earth. Doesn't matter where I'm at, God. I will cry unto you. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 27 and verse 29. Listen. It says, and the Lord shall scatter you, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Two verses later, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. It doesn't matter where God scatters you, Moses said. From wherever you are, if you will seek the Lord, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. I'm reminded of the accessibility of our Lord, how that you don't have to be at the right place at the right time. You can be anywhere and access the Lord. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now there's a pretty good spot to wind up and find yourself thinking about the Lord. And he cried, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. I cried by reason of my affliction. When Jonah was in trouble, he had a plan. So did David. And out of the belly of a big fish, he prayed to the Lord. He says, it was out of the belly of hell, cried I, and you heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward thine holy temple. Jonah had a plan. He hadn't always been doing what God wanted him to do, but when the chips were down, he knew where to turn. Just like David expressed his intention here in our text in Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, when I need you, I am going to turn to you, and I don't care where I find myself or what situation I might find myself in. You, Lord, are going to be my first recourse. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Your soul ever been cast down? You ever get discouraged? You ever get down in the dumps? David, I love these psalms right here. There's a couple of them where he's having a conversation with himself. I always heard that if you have a conversation with yourself, you talk to yourself, it means one of two things. You've either got a lot of money or you don't have much up here, not much upstairs. So here he is talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And you can just hear him telling himself, hope in God, David. Don't give way to this discouragement and depression. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. You know what he's expressing there? This isn't going to last forever. He's going to take me through it, and I will be praising him. Is that the confidence that you have in the Lord? I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. He keeps me going, and he's my God. Psalm 142, verse 3, the psalmist said this, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way wherein I have walked. They privately laid a snare for me. Lord, I know you are always going to be aware of what is happening to me. And he said, my intention is this. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care when it happens. From the end of the earth, when my heart is overwhelmed, I'm going to cry unto thee. I trust that God's Spirit can take this particular verse. I trust that God's Spirit can take this particular psalm and can so impress upon each of our hearts the fact that David was so trusting in his Lord. He had such faith. God had so proven himself to David that David said, I don't care what I face, and I don't care where I'm at, from the ends of the earth, I'm going to be crying unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. Why? Why would he come to that place to state such an intention. Verse 3, God's reputation. God's reputation. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. Get the picture. David has expressed his intention in verse 2. He has said, he's already let his readers know, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care when it happens or where I'm at. When I find myself in a bind, I'm going to be turning to the Lord because God has been so faithful to me. You've been a shelter for me. You've been a shelter when I've needed protection, when the storms have blown. Yesterday, those who walked for chocolate and the pregnancy helpline, they would have liked to have had a shelter from the rain. He said, you've been a shelter for me. And you've been a strong tower. A strong tower. Picture in your mind, the enemy is attacking. It's not just a roof over your head, the shelter to keep the rain off of you, but when the enemy is making the assault, you run to a place of refuge and you appreciate the fact that this is a strong, secure facility. And doesn't matter what the enemy throws against, this shelter, this strong tower, it's protection enough. He found that was true of God. Proverbs 18:10 tells us this. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. And in Psalm 18, verse 2, David gave this glorious description. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. No less than 8 things he knew God was to him. God's reputation. So we move on in our text, and because of that, we see verse 4, his determination that he states. He says, you've been a shelter for me, you've been a strong tower from my enemy. Now he says, here's what I'm going to be doing. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings, Selah. David's determination to always trust the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And David says, I'm going to abide in your tabernacle forever. He mentions his trust. I will trust. Back a few pages from our text, Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be past. I'm just going to stay right next to you, Lord, until the trouble passes. What a determination. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, he shall cover thee with his wings and with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Psalm 56, verse 11 says, in God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. His determination, Lord, I'm just going to keep trying. I'm just going to stay close to you, and I'm going to trust. Verse 5 gives us David's realization in our text. For you, or thou, O God, hast heard my vows. You know my heart, you've heard my prayers, and you have given me the heritage of those that fear your name, that have a proper respect, a proper trust in you. His realization that God is real and that promises or vows made to him, not only God has heard them, but they are important. God expects us to keep our word to him. You've heard my vows. And then he says, you've given me the heritage of those that fear your name. God has, he realized that God had abundantly blessed. God blesses those that love him, that trust him, that follow him. Which brings us to David's expectation in verses 6 and 7. David expected something of the Lord. He says, you will prolong the king's life. Now David was king. He was king of Israel. You will prolong the king's life and the years, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. We find that David expected God to continue his work in his life. David voiced the fact that he knows that God is in control not only of the length of one's life, but the quality of life which one experiences and blesses. You're going to prolong the king's life. His years as many generations. He'll abide before God forever. David knew he had a right relationship with God, and he knew God was going to be caring for him in the future. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6, David, concerning inheritance, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. David says, I am so blessed of you, Lord. Psalm 119, verse 111, the psalmist said this. It says, thy testimonies, your word have I taken as an heritage forever. Part of that heritage to which he is referring is the fact that he had God's word. And that's a part of our heritage. When he says, you've given me the heritage of those that fear your name. Your testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And all this brings us to verse 8, our last verse of our text. And here's David's resolve. After everything that he said, as we go back and we look at his desire, his intention, God's reputation, and David's determination, and what he's realized is true about God, and what he expects of God, David finally states his resolve. So will I sing praise unto your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. God, I'm just going to keep praising you. I'm going to just keep singing your praises. What a wonderful relationship David had with the Lord. What a wonderful faith David had in the Lord. And what a wonderful plan David voiced in verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. The next time trouble, that's a word, isn't it? T-R-U-G-G-L-E. Maybe I invented a new one. Trouble and struggle together there. The next time trouble overwhelms, follow your plan. I guess I should say follow David's plan, but make it your own. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for what we've seen tonight. Boy, we haven't really done much digging. We haven't really searched out great theological concepts, but how this has ministered and stirred and spoken to our hearts. Lord, we've seen a portion of Scripture that we might say it's where the rubber meets the road of everyday living. And I pray that you would help us to meditate on these truths. Help us to go back and personalize Psalm 61. May what is true of David be true of us. For your glory I pray in your name. Amen. And you are dismissed.